Hello, 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 and welcome back to What's the Chinese Tea? I am your host, also known as your favorite Congolese Tantin, Sammy. By the time this episode actually airs, I will be actually in the PRC, known as the People's Republic of China. Yes, guys, I'm back, and I'm back in China. It's so crazy, but this particular episode is kind of explaining the 24 to 36 hours, you know, that I've experienced. It's been crazy. I'm still low-key kind of jet lag, but it's all right. We'll get it all. You guys will have a good laugh. So if you guys want to know what exactly happened to this girl, you guys pull up your drink, get your tea. You guys are not ready for what is about to happen, but we'll be right back. Welcome back to What's the Chinese Tea? Episode 2, Season 2. I don't even know where to start with you guys, but it's been crazy. I've been trying to just kind of recuperate, and I'm still recuperating, obviously. But we are going to rewind time. We are going to go back to October 20th, okay? So that was actually the day I was scheduled to leave the United States and fly to China. So my original flight was from Los Angeles to Vancouver with a 15-hour layover, and then from Vancouver straight to Chengdu. However, it would not be a Sammy story if there was not a little bit of drama, okay? So let's pull this back. So in order to enter China, China requires that you get a PCR test, which is a COVID test, 72 hours prior to your flight. So if I was to fly on the 20th, I need to have my results in hand from the 17th onward. So being the overplanner, the Virgo, the type A, and everything in me, you know, I was very strategic in how I got my testing. So I took 3 COVID tests, one on the 15th, one on the 16th, and one on the 17th, because people were telling me that they were having great turnarounds, 24 hours and, you know, things like that. So I was like, all push come to shove, I need my results to come in on the 19th. Because what then you have to do, once you get your results, you have to forward your results to the embassy or the consulate of the testing jurisdiction. So let me break this down. Every state belongs to a specific jurisdiction, right? And so wherever you got your testing done will determine where you would send your results, right? So we have the San Francisco consulate, the Los Angeles consulate, Chicago, Washington, D.C. is the embassy, and then we have New York. We used to have Houston, but turn of events, Houston is no longer open. And so where all of the documents that Houston would have normally got have been rerouted to Washington, D.C. So at the time, I was living in NOLA when I got my tests done. So my jurisdiction belonged to D.C., so based on the lab results and everything, by the way, tested negative, obviously, because I'm here. Tested negative, so I forwarded my results to the D.C. embassy. They asked me some just questions and things of that nature, sent them everything. And then they send us a paper with their official stamp. If you see a Chinese document, a lot of official documents have a red stamp, meaning that it's like official. It's like their seal. And so once you get that sent, you print it out, you take that along with your negative COVID results to whatever airport. So I had, shout out to my homeboy, drive me to go get my results printed at the FedEx, right? Because I got everything or whatever. So I had my results and I had my my stamp saying that I'm allowed to fly. So I'm pumped. I'm excited. My flight was at 6:50 a.m. on October 20th. So because a lot of my friends and expat groups were telling me, hey, you might want to get to check in a little earlier than what you would normally, because for those of my people who do not fly or have never flown, when you take an international flight, it is required that you check in at least 3 hours prior to your flight. Now, with China just recently opening their borders and policies changing, people just recommended that you get there a little early. Now, because technically my flight is the first flight out, a lot of security and kiosks are not open to about 4:30 anyway. So I arrived there, suitcase and all. I got all my documents, and I'm just like, I'm ready to get on a plane. I'm actually ready to go back to sleep and get on a plane. I'm ready to get on a plane and go to sleep. So it's my turn in line. They're like, where are you going? I'm going to Vancouver. As an American right now, we are not allowed to enter Canada. Now, that's a whole logistic situation. So the way you work around it is that you have to have a layover less than 24 hours, and you cannot technically enter. When you technically enter, that means you go get your bags and then recheck them and go through security. That's technically you entering, but there's a whole loophole which I won't get into. And so luckily, my bags were gonna get checked straight through to Chengdu, so it's fine. So I get up there, and the lady was like, okay, I need to see your passport, and I need to see your COVID test. Have my COVID test in hand. And then I show her my, she's like, do you have the certificate, which is the stamp I was telling you guys about? I had that. And she's like, we're not accepting this. And I was like, excuse me? What do you mean you're not accepting this? She's like, your paper, we're not accepting it. And I was like, why are you not accepting it? I don't understand. They was like, well, how did it come to you? Now, they send us emails. So I pulled it up on my phone. I saved it on my phone. And I was like, this is how it came to me. I just printed based off the email. This lady proceeded to say, that's not how they're supposed to come. They're supposed to come via, you're supposed to go pick it up at the embassy. And I said, no, that's not how that goes, because with 50 states and 6 jurisdictions and people living everywhere, people don't have access unless you live in the cities where the consulate is or the embassy is. They're not going to stamp it and like, hey, come pick it up. That's not how this works. It's like literally send an email, send it back, print it out, go about your day. So I just foresaw it being a hot ass mess. And I'm arguing with this lady like, no, this is how it's supposed to look. Da 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 da. Now I'm flying with a colleague of mine. My colleague rolls up probably like an hour later, and I asked him to see his paper to see if it was any different than mine. Come to find out that the way, I guess, the embassy sent it, because he sent his to the Chicago consulate, and his wordings looked a little different, and his just looked, he printed his on white paper, and I guess the way mine printed, the scan didn't come up clear, and so that was where the discrepancy was. And so I ended up having to take the L and miss that flight. And I was not too happy. I was about on the verge of a panic attack because I was like, I don't know what to do now. And I'm on the, I'm on the phone with Air Canada, cussing them out. I'm at this agent's face, cussing him out. I'm tired. I'm annoyed. And I'm just like, what the absolute hell is going on here? And so I'm trying to email the embassy. Mind you, I'm in LA. So I'm already at a disadvantage because of the time zone difference. So I have to wait until like 7 to be able to get a hold of somebody at the embassy. Now, mind you, with all of this going on, they're not answering the phones, only email. So I'm literally at the mercy of the embassy. So I emailed them explaining everything. I said, I guess the scan that you guys sent me was not clear. Da, 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 da. Please forward me a better scan so I can have this printed and get on the next flight to Vancouver, because my school paid for the flight. So I had ended up having to repay. I had to ended up paying for my flight from LA to Vancouver. And shout out to Delta Airlines. Mm-hmm. And so I got a clear scan. I got it printed. I took the flight later on that afternoon. And I get to the Delta gate. And the Delta guy was like, no, we can't board you. I said, oh, my God. I said, if I can get on this flight, I'm going back to Indiana. That was literally because that's just how much of an annoyance I was already at. And I was like, why not? And then I guess he had to call his headquarters. And I guess the issue was that because they were booked on two separate airlines, they saw it. Like, when he originally scanned my passport, it was like, no. So he had to manually input it. Luckily, he was super patient and super nice. And he's like, where are you headed? Very conversational, very friendly. Again, shout out Delta Airlines. I told him I'm here to Chengdu. He's on the phone. He's like, what's the airport code to Chengdu? Gave him the airport code, all this other stuff. And he's like, okay, so your bags are going to check straight through Chengdu. But do yourself a favor. Go when you get to Vancouver. Just verify that your bags are going straight through. So he said, you will check with your onboard flight attendant or personnel or whatever. I said, all right. So he's like, okay, you're good to go. Here's your boarding pass. Took my bags. I made it on my merry way to the gate. So my first leg was from LA to Seattle. Landed in Seattle. I had literally 55 minutes to get from the gate to the gate that I landed all the way to the gate that's boarding Vancouver. So I'm like power walking. Then I notice the time. I start running. I get to the line to where they're boarding for Vancouver. They check my temperature, and then they put me in a line to verify all my documents, because now we're going into Canada. So now they have to definitely be sure that, one, you have the rule is that in order to enter Canada as an American, you have to have proof of onboard travel. So it's like, for them, they're like, we don't care where you're going. You just can't stay here as of right now. So I had to make sure I have my boarding or my itinerary from Vancouver to Chengdu. I had to have my COVID results along with my certificate. Okay. I get to, and I'm behind like three other people, and everyone before me was just having problems. I'm like, and I'm looking at the time. I'm like, this flight is supposed to board at 6:55. And luckily, I think it's only a half hour flight from Seattle to Vancouver. So, but I was worried about what customs was going to look like getting into Vancouver. So I was just like, I need a little bit of time to be able to maneuver and do what it is I need to do. So it was my turn in line. She asked for my passport. She asked me where I'm going. I told her Chengdu. And she's like, do you have your bag tags? Are you checking bags? I said, I checked my bags back in LA. It said it's going straight to Chengdu. I had my bag tags. Pro tip, you guys, save your bag tags, save your boarding pass, especially right now with everything going on. Just have all that saved. I sometimes used to throw these things away, but I'm glad I didn't throw anything away, because it literally saved my ass the entire time. So I gave them all of the documents. They didn't check for my paperwork. They just put a nice cute little red stamp on my passport. And like, she's, you know, checked my temperature, allowed to board. We didn't end up leaving until I think 7:15. We get to Vancouver, which is now where I thought my headache was going to start. So I get to Vancouver, and then it was like arrivals and international transfer. So I'm like, I'm flying in. There's like, it's like a ghost town. There's nobody there. Like, you don't hear you can't hear a rat piss. It's literally so quiet. I go through international thing. I scan my passport. They give me a ticket. I'm in line with like two other people. We're trying to find somebody, a sign of life, something. The gentleman ends up just like, hey, we just need your boarding pass from Seattle to Vancouver. Oh, that's it? He's like, are you heading to Chengdu? And we're like, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, all I need is this. And then he's like, you already scanned your passport, so you're fine. Oh. So I was like, okay, cool. Take the elevator downstairs. I happen to be walking. And my colleague, who had been there since 10 a.m., was like, hey, you know, so we ended up catching up and just talking. And we both couldn't get our boarding passes because we couldn't check in because of just the special regulation. And because they have to now this is the leg, they have to verify everything. So, fun fact, my papers got wet on the flight. And so now I'm like laying out all my papers to dry. And then we're sitting there. It's like, I think I land, it's like close to 8:30 at this point. I'm starving. I had not eaten since breakfast. Besides these little snacks that they were giving on the plane, I'm just like, bruh, nothing's open at the Vancouver airport. Like, literally zero. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a long fucking day. And then I get to, then my colleague ends up finding a place that sells noodles. I'm like, at this point, I'll eat anything. I'm hungry. Ended up paying $12 for a bowl of noodles. We'll never do that in life, but when you're hungry, you're hungry. Then we're like, we go around 10 o'clock to try to see if we can at least get a boarding pass. No one's at the gate. No, like, so we're just like, all right. Our flight is scheduled to depart at 12:15 a.m. So we're just like, okay, let's just go at 11. We happen to go at 11. They ask us for our negative COVID test. They ask for the certificate. They ask for, there's a special QR code that we were supposed to do, kind of validating what your health results are type of thing. And you show them that, and then they give you a waiver to sign and all this fun jazz. We did that. We got our boarding pass. And then once it was starting to start boarding, they checked our temperature, and then they checked our temperature twice. And so we're like, okay, whatever. This flight was a full flight. Like, I was a little like on edge just with the different aircrafts, but with the two aircrafts flying from LA to Seattle and then Seattle to Vancouver, there was not a lot of people on either of those flights. So I was fine. And I had a row to myself. This go around, like, the flight was full and I was just like, eesh. Luckily that, like, there was a middle seat open for me, but like the row in front of me was full, the row in the behind me, it was just like, and I was trying to see if there was like a row empty that I could move to so I could just be by myself, but it was no option. So I'm just like, I was super paranoid. So we take off and I ended up, I think, just passing out because I was just like, I've been up all day and switching time zones. My body's just like, we need to sleep. So we slept. Normally, if you fly international, they usually give you a hot meal. Yeah, that didn't happen. They didn't give us a hot meal or booze, just water. So it ended up being, they gave us like a box with like a banana, some peanuts, stuff you would get on like a domestic flight. And I'm just like, listen, we're flying like 14 hours. You about to give me a whole banana? Ma'am, this not gonna work. Like, not for me. I'm over it. So in the flight, I think a couple times during the flight, they checked our temp to make sure we were fine. And when I tell you, y'all, the flight attendants, they, you know how like flight attendants, they always wear like these really cute little outfits. Y'all know these outfits were like hazmat suits, okay? They were in full hazmat suits with their logo is the panda, because I flew through Sichuan. And Sichuan is the province. Chengdu is the city. Chengdu is known as having pandas. So like the aircraft was decorated with pandas, and it's like a cute little baby blue and white. That's like their color scheme. And so I'm just like, oh, they're in full hazmat gear, boots and all. I mean, you would think these people are having surgery, like literally. And even the gear on the plane, like people came in full hazmat suit, face shields, mask. I mean, it was like, damn. It was really intense in there. So when you fly internationally, normally, like literally sometimes the last hour, they give you a customs form. They usually have you fill that out prior. They didn't have us fill out anything. So I'm like, I'm just anticipating on just madness. We land, we taxi for a little bit, and then we get parked. Now, this is where the fun stuff happens. We get on, we get out of the plane. They disinfect me and my suitcase with whatever, I don't know. They spray us down, and then we get on this bus. Because where we parked was like a ways away from the actual terminal. This is at 4:40 a.m., okay? 4:50 a.m. And they disinfect us down. They disinfect the bag. I take a walk to the bus. The bus then, you know, drives us probably about five, maybe 10 minutes to our first stop in this very long journey. We get to this place, we walk in, and it looks like a freaking laboratory. There's bright lights. There's these people ushering us in full, again, hazmat suits, telling us where to sit. It's like a area. They blocked off the middle. They blocked off the seats. It's literally every other seat that people can sit in. So we're sitting. They give us a number. They call us by our number, and then they literally was like, okay, they're like, okay, you're next. They set us up by sections. So then there was like, your section can go. We stood in line and we had to show our QR code, and then they took our temperature. Then we go into the next area. The next area, they want to see our QR code again. Mind you, I'm telling you, if you notice in the story, the QR code is very important. They take us to the QR code, and then they give us a number. Then they have us go to another area where we're going to sit. We sat there. I think I sat there maybe 5 minutes. My number was 366. San Ba Liu Shi Liu. That's how you say 366 in Chinese. There you have it. So got in line, and they have little like desk. If you guys have been to like, it's like the DMV. It was set up like the DMV. They have these little booths, right? And you have an attendant at every booth. Okay. The DMV is the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, where you go get your driver's license. People, for my people who are not American. Okay. So they have it set up in little booths. So I went to the booth that was assigned to me. I sat down with the gentleman with the plexiglass and his hazmat suit. And he was like, can I have your boarding pass? Can I have your negative COVID results? Can I see? No, he didn't want to see all that, because they took that in Vancouver. So it was your QR code and your boarding pass, because the QR code, when I filled it out, I didn't have a seat number assigned to me yet. So they just wanted to verify where I was sitting, because that is also the way they contact trace. So gave him my seat number, and then he had to ask me a series of questions. Have I been exposed to anyone with COVID? Have I been anywhere without a mask? What cities have I been to? And the whole enchilada. Had to answer it, signed a document. They gave me my document. He's like, okay, you're on this way. I walk down a long hallway, and there's a little area that says sampling. So I figured this is where we're going to take the test. Now, I took 3 COVID tests in the United States, all self-administered with the assistance of a nurse. And I wasn't bad, because according to the CDC, you do not need to get all up in your nasal cavity, right? You just need to get up there just enough that you obtain a sample. Fine. I was like, but then my people who have already came here, they're like, no, they dig in your nose. And I'm just like, that I think was breeding the most anxiety for me. I'm just like, oh, jeez. I'm literally nervous. I'm just like, I don't know what to expect here. And I'm like, all right, you know what? It's fine. So I sit, and again, gentlemen in full hazmat suits, they assigned us the seating, every other seat, and they, you know, usher us by sections. And of course, these guys, it's like 5 in the morning at this point, and these people are annoyed, they're tired, they've probably been here all day, I don't know. So it was my section's turn to go, and then he's like, you're going to sit at seat 6, Lil. So I was like, all right, cool. I go see the seat 6. This lady, full hat. I think she had like maybe 2 hazmat suits on, a face shield. I mean, y'all, when I tell you, if you guys follow me on Snapchat, I think I managed to, or Instagram, I managed to get some snippets of the things to see just like the full gear. I mean, it was like the CDC on steroids. So she had just took a patient. So she disinfected the seat, and then she disinfected her hands, changed her gloves, the whole thing. She told me to sit down. I had my mask on. She's like, take your mask off. And she's like, all you just need, just breathe. She's like, and literally on the on the wall, there is a sign that says we have to take a throat and a nasal sample. It will cause discomfort. Please cooperate. So I think they've already known that people are just like, and because I was sitting there prior, I'm hearing coughing and gagging. I'm just like, oh Lord. So she takes the sample. She gets the stick. And at first she was gentle, right? So I was like, okay. And she's like, just breathe down. Just breathe down. It'll help open up and it won't. And then she got up in there. Y'all, I lost it. Like I lost it. I lost it. I said, holla, 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 which is like, okay, okay, okay. And then she's like, no, 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 just a little, just a little. I'm like, no, 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 no. And then she's like, just calm down, just breathe. I was like, it hurts. It didn't hurt like pain, but it was very uncomfortable. And she's like, calm down, calm down, calm down. And then she's like, just breathe. And then she left it in there. She left the damn sample in my nose. And I'm trying not to breathe down because I don't want the stick to fall down. So I'm like sitting here and I'm visibly uncomfortable. And she said it's supposed to be 10 seconds. Y'all, those were not 10 seconds. It felt like 20. And they were the longest freaking 20 seconds of my life. So she takes it down and like I had my glasses on. So like I had to take my glasses off because like I was tearing up and everything. And then she's like, open your mouth. And I was like, oh, okay, I don't have that bad of a gag reflex. So I was like, I think I will be fine. Like an OG. I opened my mouth. And open my mouth and she gets the tickle. She gets the part of my throat. And then she goes even further. That's when I start to gag. And I was like, okay, this is real deep. And I'm very uncomfortable here. And I start, you know, I start making that noise. And then she's looking at me. She's like, it's okay. One more time. Because I think she had to swab in there three different times. And she's like, okay, okay, you're done, you're done. And I'm coughing, I'm tearing up. I'm just like, I'm ready to fucking leave this place. So I literally walked down the aisle. And then the next stop, it was a long walk from where we were at. I had to walk outside, back inside, and walk straight. And this was customs. So I was like, okay, this is about to be the easiest part of this whole debacle. Fill out your forms. I sit in line and I'm conversing with my colleague, and then it was like your turn, and then he was like, it took him a while, and he's like, you know, he stamped my passport, and then I'm walking and he's like, hey, 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 come here. And I was like, oh Jesus. I said, you already gave me entry, so it's not like you can deny me entry in my head. So I think, but then I'm like, these are the Chinese folks. I don't even know. He's like, we need your passport. And I was just like, okay, for what? And they were verifying something. I don't know. And then I was like, is everything okay? And they're like, oh, yeah, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. And then they gave me back my passport, and I was just like, okay. And then he's like, oh, you're going to go straight. You're going to go collect your bags. I said, okay. So literally, I see my bags like straight ahead. They were the cute little rose gold and blue. You know, that's my theme colors, y'all. And so I picked those up. And then there was a scanner that was supposed to scan your bags. But they obviously didn't want us doing that. So they were just like, keep walking. And then this was the long part. We were in line. I think this was the long bit of it. We were in line probably 30, 35 minutes. At this point, the sun is up. When we flew in, it was dark. We by the time we got to this line, the sun was already up. At this point, I was starting to get a little delirious. And then this little lady comes around and she gives us stickers, and it has the district of where we're going. And I've never been to Chengdu, so I'm not familiar with which district is the nicer district. I just didn't want a horror story hotel, because people have been stuck in some really like interesting accommodations, okay? So I was hoping that, you know, the quarantine hotel gods would be nice enough to put us in something decent. And we're in line, and then they sign us in, and then they took our passports. So literally I'm chilling here with no passport. I think this is a way for them to just make sure you don't go anywhere. And they took our passports, and I was like, oh, I don't even like how this looks. I was like, I need my passport with me. This is weird. And I knew they were going to take our passport. I just thought it was going to be at the hotel. So they took our passports, and then they finally get us a bus. The bus part wasn't that long. So before we got on the bus, they disinfected all of our suitcases, and we put it in the little shelf thingy at the bottom. I don't know the correct terminology, but they put it underneath there. And then we ride the bus. I think we were on the bus maybe 20 minutes. We get to our hotel. As soon as we get out, they disinfect us down. They disinfect our bags. And then they give us a piece of paper to register and give us the Wi-Fi code and the terms and agreements of your quarantine stay. So once I got settled into the room, that's kind of where I'm at. So here are the stipulations of quarantine. You're in quarantine for 14 days. Now, again, every city and province does their business differently, but the standard is 14 days. You're in quarantine for 14 days. You may not leave your room unless it's to throw the trash away or to grab your breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You have 3 square meals a day, served at 8 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 7:30. You are allowed only 1 delivery per day, and those deliveries come in at 6, and the only deliveries you are allowed to have are things that are sealed. You cannot have, so I can't order McDonald's, right? Because it's not sealed. They're afraid of any outside contamination. I don't know the logic, but hey, whatever. They're just like, you know, they didn't want to take any chances of us getting sick from these delivery things. So if it's sealed, they know it's fresh. They know that it's never been open. It's only been opened by you. And plus, when it gets to the front desk, they disinfect everything. They wipe it down before they actually take it to your room. And they take 2 temperature checks a day, 1 in the morning and 1 in like the mid-evening. And pretty much you are in your room for 14 days. So what you make of it is your business. This is day 2 for me, going on day 3. So I have 11 days left. Who's counting, right? But yeah, so everyone's asking kind of like, how's it been? I mean, it's kind of early to tell. My jet lag is kind of kicking its butt, so I'm up most of the day, and then I sleep, and then I'm up really early in the morning. So I'm just trying to get used to. I mean, I said I would give myself 3 days to kind of just slum before I'm like, okay, I'm going back to school next week. I have other things to start doing, and so once I have a normal sleep schedule, then I'll be able to kind of really see what it is about. The food has been so-so. I've missed dinner now 2 days in a row because I've been asleep and the dinner is cold and I don't have a microwave. And so if you've had authentic Chinese food, it's not that great when it's cold. And but breakfast and lunch I've managed to catch because I'm awake. I managed to catch when it's hot, so it tastes a lot better. The food has been so-so. Obviously, we're not talking gourmet here or anything, you know. Because I was in these group chats, people said, bring your own snacks, which I'm glad I did. Bring some American food and, you know, download movies and music to just kind of see you through. And, you know, this is, I guess, an extended vacation before real life happens. So people are asking me, One question I've gotten is, why am I quarantining in Chengdu versus the city I'm going to be actually living in, which is Chongqing? So when China decided to open its borders back up to people that have jobs, people that are trying to reunite, and business people, the consensus was that we were going to have several cities that serve as what they call port cities. Port cities, just meaning that they are going to be able to facilitate the incoming foreign population. So I think it's a way for them to control the spread of the virus. So because if you open it up to everyone can receive foreigners, there's just not a way to contain it. But if we know 8 cities out of the whole freaking country are receiving foreigners, we can, you know, it's able to be contained better, and you know, you're able to kind of stop it before it gets out of hand, type of thing. I think that's the law. This is all speculation for me, but this is what I'm assuming the plan is. Because that way, if someone on a flight had it, they're quarantined for that. It's kind of nibbed right there, because we're tested. And another thing, we're tested, I think, twice. We're tested on arrival, and I think we are tested on day 7. So, yeah. And I think, I don't know if we're tested on the last day. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. So, Chengdu is a port city. Chengdu, Guangzhou, Xiamen, Beijing, Shanghai are the only ones right now that are receiving foreigners from overseas in terms of this whole thing. Because I think they have the capacity to be able to do so, and the medical personnel, and I'm thinking that they're getting medical personnel from other provinces to kind of assist with that. And that's why there's not a lot of flights that go in and out of China right now. Obviously, if your flight has, I think, over 2 or 3 cases on the flight, your flight is suspended for the week. So our flight that we took only flies on Wednesday and Friday. And so if, say, our flight had positive cases, then the flight would not fly on Friday. It would not fly until, I think, in 2 weeks, and then they can resume flights. So it's very crazy how they're just doing things. Like I said, just the tidbit I saw, I was very, very impressed with just the pandemic control that they're doing here. Obviously, you could do everything in your power, and, you know, unfortunately, it's, you know, you could still catch it, but the way that they are doing their absolute best to contain it is insanely good. Like, I was very impressed. I was like, wow. Like I said, even the citizens on the plane, they all had hazmat. Most, like, I think 80% of the flight had on hazmat suits, like protective gear. You know, I just had on my cute little mask. I had gloves. I disinfected my seat. I disinfected the window, the table tray, and the little entertainment section. But yeah, these folks came hella prepared. It was crazy. It was just definitely night and day, considering that I've spent the last, you know, 7 months in the States and kind of seeing the laxness of the, you know, how it's been handled versus I'm here. And it's like I said, from the PPE to the disinfecting and just limiting movement, it's crazy. I'm just like, wow. But that is the end of this episode. I did a lot of rambling this episode. I did a lot of talking. But anyways, if you guys have any questions or you guys have any topics, I'm going to do like a quick little, while I'm in quarantine, I'm going to do like a quarantine diaries type of thing, just so you guys can kind of see what I'm doing during my quarantine stay. But it's been a good 2 days. It's actually good to be back. It hasn't hit me that I'm actually back in China. I think once I am out of quarantine and I'm kind of moving and grooving, I think that's when it will hit me that I'm back. But it's good to be back. I've had a nice little receiving welcome, so it's been great. So until then, you guys stay tuned for the next couple of episodes. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Until the next time, keep sipping some tea.